By the 12th century, Maimonides could categorically state that the Messianic Age was not about politics, but it was a period that would enable the unfettered study of Torah in preparation for the coming world. Messianism would constantly appear on the scene in Jewish history. The medieval period knew a number of pretenders, of messianic pretenders. One of them, a fellow called Shabbatai Tzvi, appeared in the mid-17th century, and vast numbers of Jews, both in Europe and in North Africa and in the Middle East, embraced this figure as being a potential messianic leader. The only problem was, this fellow Shabbatai Tzvi must have been influenced by all sorts of mystical teachings, and we will talk about that in a future lecture, Kabbalistic teachings. And he believed that the ultimate salvation of the world would come by the Messiah's sinning and reaching the depths of this world and then restoring it. And strange as it may sound, in the end, this Messiah actually converted to Islam. And this brought about a tremendous devastation within the Jewish community. It was one of the great tragedies of the late medieval period for Jews throughout the world. Many would argue that the appearance of Zionism in modern times was itself a result of messianic aspirations, because again, it has many of the criteria: restoration, going back to the land. And by the way, one of the criteria for messianism that even Maimonides lists is what? An ingathering of the nation, of the Jewish nation to the land. And clearly, if Zionism strived for one thing, it was for this ingathering of the people. The only problem was, Zionism is a secular movement. And so in many ways, we encounter here something that can be called secular messianism. Many people would claim that Zionism is in fact a secular messianic movement. The issue that constantly came up, and Zionism was one of the examples: can you hasten the coming of the Messiah? And there seems to have been two strands within Judaism. There were those who believed it was totally in God's hands, and there is absolutely no way of hastening the process. It is fixed in time, in a future time. You have no control. And in fact, these people thought, and this is actually what was embraced by many ultra-Orthodox elements, they actually thought that if you try to hasten the Messianic Age, for instance, through Zionism, you evince a lack of faith. In other words, it's as if you do not believe in the promises that were made for a restoration. You can't wait. And you have you're tenuous in your faith, and as a result, you're trying to hasten it. Yet others believed, no, that you have to take the first step. And there were some Zionist leaders who actually were part of the religious camp who tried to put these two movements together, and they tried to combine their religiosity with their activist Zionist mentality, claiming or creating something that some people refer to as religious Zionism, and that many people identified as a messianic movement. Literally, in the recent generation, there were groups of Jews, in particular one Hasidic group, that actually believed that their rabbi was an image of the Messiah. And in his lifetime, they were convinced that he was the ultimate messianic figure. Even upon his death, many of them still believe that he was a messianic potential, or a potential messianic figure that somehow never came to ultimate fruition. And I think all this tells us what a potent force this belief in a restorative process and in this messianic phenomena, what a tremendously potent force this held, this swayed within Jewish history. Many people actually consider it to be one of the dominant forces that they use to explain almost all of Jewish history. That might be an exaggeration, but not by very much.